Hi, gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. That's right, the Bible doesn't condemn gays. I know a lot of you do, but why don't you take time? You know, you can go to my website, and I have all the general verses, and I talk about that. You can just click on and read about it. People were in the last days. Lots of things are happening now. Of course, we know that we finally hit one of these 9.0 earthquakes a few weeks ago. Things are going to happen that's going to shake your life. A lot of these things will come in natural disaster form, but also a lot of them will come in the form of the governments of the world tightening the screws down to be able to present a one-world government with a one-world dictator. Now, one thing that we've got to understand now, we're living so close to the day that Jesus returns that we've got to understand some things. We can now look and see some specific events that has to take place so we won't get in this little rut of saying Jesus might come tonight or that all things are fulfilled. I was just watching CNN the other day, and they use this guy, the author of Left Behind, and this guy, you know, I don't know what kind of education that guy had, but, you know, all things have not been fulfilled that need to be fulfilled. There are things yet to be done before the rapture can take place. And you got to know some of these things so you won't be telling people, hey, if Jesus were to come tonight, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? You can't preach that way, people, because for a fact, Jesus is not coming tonight. Did you hear me? Even when this report probably recorded 4 weeks ago, as of the date of the name of this program, and even in that amount of time, Jesus cannot come. There cannot be a rapture in that period of time. Today, in all of the world, all 6 billion people in the world, there is nobody that has stood up anywhere and stopped the rain. Now, why do you think that the two witnesses are going to come after the rapture? We're taught so often that the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation. But people, there's not going to be that way. First of all, get this out of your mind, or put it into your mind, it's not going to be that way. The rapture is not going to happen before the tribulation. It's just not. You don't have Bible for it. The Bible verses that use the representation for this talks about a time that happens in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 11 and verse 18 is the only place of a time that rewards are given to the saints. And you're not going to get rewards until you're in heaven. And you're going to get your rewards right away. Did you know that? Well, you won't actually be in heaven. You'll be in the air. So you're not even quite made it to heaven. The dead will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up. This is where the rapture comes from. Back in 1840, or 1830, there's two phases of it. I think this guy Darby and expounded upon it, but this woman, Martha, developed it. And she was an occultist. They both were into the occultism. And they developed this doctrine of the rapture. Now, the rapture is a reality, even though that generally speaking that these scholars will seem to say that nobody before this time really talked about anything like a rapture. Well, a rapture today has a meaning to Christians, that meaning that we're walking around here, you know, and cut myself and see my blood. We're flesh. And then suddenly something happens in our cells and everything, whatever it is, we just, I don't know what, but it would change, and to anybody else looking around, it may actually look like you're going up. You're turning invisible. But you see, you may not turn invisible because the only things we got to go on is Jesus. Jesus, every but 500 people saw him go up. And what did he look like? Did he look solid? Did he look kind of transparent? They didn't particularly say that. They said they saw two angels there too telling them, you know, what are you looking for? This is the same way he's going to return. We saw, we read about Elijah. Who was that? Elijah? Going up. In the chariot, as it were. Well, Elijah saw him go up. So does that mean that when the rapture takes place, we will literally be able to look and see people go up? Or will they just simply disappear? Like, you're looking and talking with somebody and suddenly you disappear. You know, that's a famous thing, is suddenly there's no pilot in the pilot seat, and so the airplane crashes. Well, the airplane won't crash because it'll be an automatic pilot, so it'll just fly. It'll run out of gas, and then it'll just come down because it's all set to go level, and you just come down and crash. Unless a co-pilot knows how to fly, or somebody in the back knows, you know. But anyway, it might not happen that way. It might be that we literally, as there's some kind of physical change, or skin kind of, I don't know, begins to look transparent, or I don't know what. Maybe it won't, maybe it will, or whatever, but then we go up. It might, this is what we see, or what other people will see, happen. So, but we don't know, but what does happen is we are changed. And we're given the spirit body. This spirit body, for these Christians, will last forever. It doesn't change 1,000 years later when the earth is burnt and melted down in the whole universe and a new earth and a new universe is created, new heaven, and we get new spiritual bodies. No, we get those that are dead that knew Christ and raised, and those that are alive that believe still will get changed, and their bodies will become this permanent spiritual body. It has lots of features, you know. And maybe some of them, there's options. You know, we buy a product, we buy a car, you know, and we can add on all kinds of options. Some cars come with a lot of options. Hey, you know, when you get your new spirit body, you come with a lot of options. But they might, I mean, you come with a lot of standard stuff, but there's options, you know. Some people get some options. The 12 apostles get some options. Because they're going to be at the 12 gates of the New Jerusalem. So they'll have something. The two witnesses will have some options. Exactly what they are, we can just play with and guess and all that. There are some little hints to what some of these options will be. But we will change. And this is what has become called, since about the 1830s, the rapture. The people that gave the name rapture, basically, and the doctrine that developed out of that had some correctness and some errors. The error is the thing that should be important to Christians, because the error about the rapture is that it will happen before the tribulation begins. The tribulation is a 7-year period divided into two parts, the first 42 months and the last 42 months. In the last 42 months, there will be 7 bowls poured out. Be a pretty nasty situation. The first 42 months, people like to argue about it. Some like to say the seals have already been opened, but at least the 7 trumpets will go off, and the 7 seals also, I believe. There's also 7 thunders in there that will be going off. Now, when we read the Bible, only in Revelation 11, verse 18 doesn't say we get a reward. The dead rise, and the only place that it talks about time periods of dead rising, where you actually can get a date, not an actual date, but a concept of the time part, that there will be a changing in the red and the dead rise, is in Revelation 20. And it gives you 2 risings of the dead. We don't need to worry about, you know, some people say there's about 8 risings of dead, because this so-and-so rise and that so-and-so rise and raised and so forth. And various type of things that people attribute to a kind of rising. But the kind of rising that should matter to Christians are two kinds. One where the dead in Christ will rise. There's not a dead in Christ pre-tribulation that rise, and then a dead in Christ that are martyred during the tribulation that rise. No, there's not two separate kind of things about rising of the dead. There's only one rising of the dead in Christ. There's only one. If you die now, if somebody 2,000 years ago died, you know, Jesus already died, rose, and then somebody said, I believe in Jesus, that you're the Son of God, and beginning of my sin, come your life, I believe that God rose you on the third day, and you believe all that kind of stuff, but then something happened, you know, a cart fell on you and you died. You would go to heaven and get this new body. But, you see, you only maybe had 10 minutes of belief in Jesus Christ. Oh, I believe in Jesus Christ. Come to my life. And then you walk across the street and there comes a car. You're dead. You kept that faith for 10 minutes and died. You got eternal life. Now there's some people that accepted Jesus when they're 6 years old or 5 years old, you know, and or they just believed all their life and maybe at four or something like that, they finally heard, oh, you know, you have to accept Jesus. So he said, I believe in Jesus. I believe, you know, and they always kept that faith. Some people really, you know, could track their day when they really did say it way back to really young. And then they went to, maybe they lived 112 years old. And they still, you know, praise God, I believe, just like I did when I was, you know, maybe more mature. Or, you know, I got a lot of customs and traditions mixed in there. But, you know, I still keep my faith and you die. The one that died only a few minutes after they accepted Christ and the one that died 100 years after they accepted Christ will go to the grave and be saved. The promise, if you have your faith, you will be saved. You are a martyr for Christ. Doesn't matter if you did anything in Christ. You went home and watched television, maybe even bad programs, but you believe in Christ. You believe He died for your sins. People want you to repent of things. We're spending the rest of our lives repenting and trying to walk the other direction. Hold on. My battery got dead. They had to change it. People got this idea that being a martyr has to be something more spectacular. You have this idea that if you just was a couch potato, that you can't be a martyr. But if you could get to the grave, if you could die and go through death's gate, you have the victory. You are a martyr for Christ. And so you will raise at that time that the martyrs in Christ will raise. Now you can also go and do great works for Jesus and have all kinds of persecution and people trying to kill you, and finally they get you up and they crucify you in the most painful kind of way anybody can ever be crucified and everything, and boy, you're just all the way, I believe in Jesus, I will not, and they're pointing their finger at you, say, you change your mind, you renounce Jesus, and say, no, go ahead, cut my head off, and have their get this thing done, and they're cutting your head off, you're saying, praise God. And all whatever, you believe in Jesus is the Son of God. So you're a pretty dramatic martyr. That's not going to get you any quicker to heaven or guaranteed heaven than the couch potato. All his life just up there, you know. Come Easter, they go to church maybe, and maybe Christmas, you know. And that lucky, or it's a old woman, you go, my wife, you go to church, you take the kid, I'll sit here watch a football game. You do my, you know how it is. And you're a martyr for Christ if you die believing. And so, there's only one place in the whole Bible where anybody that believes in Jesus is raised to die. And that's in Revelation 20. And when you read Revelation 20, you'll read about two risings. One is the believers that died, and the other is the unbelievers that died. Now the unbelievers do not rise again for 1,000 years and 42 months or so. 3.5 years. Because, although that 1,000, the millennial reign may not be exactly 1,000 years, because they're given 7,000 years. So we have now 6,000 gone. Probably 6,000 years was in 1994. And so the year 2000 really began in 1994. And so we're already in the first part, you know, that's 6 years and 4 years, 10 years. We're 10 years into the first part of the 1,000 years. So if Jesus were to come back, he's got 7 years yet, because there's the tribulation period you got to get in. So that's going to take you on down to almost up to 20 years into the 1,000-year period. So we're going to have to, that 1,000 years, you got to subtract these 20 years from, because they're already used up. You don't get an additional time. Now, we don't know that for sure, but I mean, if we go by that there are 7,000 years, then this is the period that we have. Some people will say that the Jubilee calendar and the 7,000 literal years, the 6,000th year was in 1994. And now we're in a period of limbo until we start the 1,000 years. Well, that's kind of making a far-fetched way of explaining things. There's probably 7,000 years. And so when it comes time, we're going to have to subtract whatever times of the, because it says in the third year will reign with them. It's kind of getting in Joel, I think, or something that give the idea here that, and they tell you there's 3,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. There's 3 days, and we begin in the first part of the third day. And then that next verse down there says a day is 1,000 years. So you could, it's easy enough to calculate that the reign of Jesus starts sometime in the very beginning of that 3,000 years. Not the beginning, but in the beginning. So what's the beginning? 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 100 years? There's lots of kinds of stuff that can give you as much as to 2038 or something as a date for when there can't be any more time. You know, Israel became a nation. If everybody died that was born on that day, it would be like 90 to 100 years later. So a ninth, well, that would make it something like if people could live to 100 years, then that means in 2048 could be the last possible day that Jesus has to be back on earth. You got to get people, you can't be getting this idea in your head that we're going to miss anything. If you're alive, see, when you die, you get cleaned up in the death gate. Something happens when you die. I call it washed in the blood, literally. You're scrubbed in the blood. False doctrines, conditioning, traditions, all these kinds of stuff is cleaned off of you. You know, all the different denominations and everything. We all can't be right. And our denomination can't be right in every way, and we know for sure that denomination's not right. Boy, the Vatican's got to be the Antichrist's headquarters. You know, we have all this kind of stuff that we believe, so something's got to straighten this out. Christians need 1,260 days, and Daniel tells you that this is the time to break the power of the church. This is the time that the two witnesses come to do something. The 7-year period of tribulation, why do we want to think that it's for unbelievers? Why do we want to think it's for the evil people? This is not how God works. Check out the Bible. Turn, read the Genesis 1 and start looking about God's people sinning and disobedience from the get-go. Adam and Eve, the first two people, sinned before they even had their first baby. And it's been that way ever since. And God's always had to do things. The flood, wipe out everybody, start over. Then everybody's messed up. Make all the languages different. On and on and on this kinds of stuff go. the kings of Israel sinned. Unbelieving nations rose up to fight off Israel, finally scattered all over around the world. Christians came along. All the wars related to Christianity, just about. Christians kill Christians. Christian kills anybody that moves, that don't go with them, you know? And so forth and so on. This is what life is about. God raises things up. We can know some literal facts. You know, we know Hitler wanted to be the ruler of the world and all this kind of stuff, and all these various people in their own particular minds thought they were doing whatever service it was they were thinking, and then all the Christians or other ones would call them antichrist and stuff like that. We have all this kind of stuff that we try to figure out. But not too many of you go out and figure out the whole nine yards. This guy, Albert Pike, before the two world wars started, said they need to be three world wars. And he described what the Masons wanted to do for the First World War and for the Second World War, and it happened just like Albert Pike said. Then he said what's going to be for the Third World War, and if you read what he said about the Third World War, it's exactly happening around the world exactly. It's going to be about the Islams and Christians and the Jewish people. You know, we got to get rid of these kind of people. They're the resistors. If we could get a war that's going to get rid of a massive amount of people that will resist the New World Order, then we got it made. It's got to involve China over there. It's got to, you know, so they got a thing going. Korea, it's a whole setup. You know, there's agreements that say we could go and wipe out Korea, and we could let China go and do their thing over in Taiwan. We got it all set up, and then we're going to have to do something. It's going to start a ball rolling. Nobody can stop. So we're going to have a world war. Middle East is probably going to start it. That's probably what Iraq's mainly about. You read about the... Because you don't want it, because it's a conspiracy theory. We can't believe conspiracy theories. Those are wackos, aren't they? You better. Because things are happening, and you're not ready. I'm going to be having meetings here, and you'll see a phone number and an email address and a website. There's various ways you can get a hold of me. And if you are interested in coming to meetings, then let me know, and I'll contact you and let you know when a meeting will be. You know, I'm Pentecostal. Background, Assembly of God, some 31 years, and I believe in healing. I believe in laying on hands. Any of you right now that are sick, put your hand on that area of your sickness. In the name of Jesus, I command that sickness to go away. Be healed. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. I believe God rose you on the third day. A simple prayer will get you saved. Now, you need to read the Bible. Read the King James Bible, because all the other Bibles, the modern translations, are Satan counterfeits. Satan wants to counterfeit everything Jesus. Modern translation, look up Westcott and Holt. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Read Acts chapter 2 to find out about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Remember, get a hold of me and say you want to come to a meeting. If you have a sickness, we'll lay hands on you. You want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we'll lay hands on you for that. See you next week.